The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Let's start with news that actually means something to you. The UN has issued a, quote, early warning over the racial conditions in the United States. Now, this is a really rare move, and it's usually used to signal the potential of a looming civil war or conflict. The report has come from the UN Commission specifically mentioning the incident in Charlottesville, stating that, quote, we are alarmed by racist demonstrations with overtly racist slogans, chants, and salutes by white nationalists, neo-Nazis, and the Ku Klux Klan, promoting white supremacy and inciting racial discrimination and hatred. Now, this according to the head of the committee at the UN. Now, these types of warnings are usually reserved for countries that are gripped by ethnic and religious strife, places like Burundi and Nigeria and Iraq and the Ivory Coast. That's where we are today, America. The UN is alarmed over the demonstrations by a very tiny fraction of the population here in America, in the country that has the longest working constitution in the world. At over 228 years since its ratification, nobody's even come close. This is the country that the UN feels they need to focus on? There's a couple of things. First, let me address this. It's time to shutter the United Nations. Close it up. Send it back to Europe. Stop paying for it. Then we need to return to the values and the principles that made the Constitution the most powerful document ever created by man. Completely reject the idiocy of tiny racist fragments. And that includes the white supremacist and the black supremacist. Anybody, dare I say, La Raza. Translation, the race. Anyone who is basing their politics on race must be dismissed, as well as the politically correct lunacy that is infecting our society. And if your media source is not telling you this today, then perhaps it's time you find a new media source. We begin right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I believe, and I told you this last week, and as I have been looking at my own company, as I've been looking at myself as a dad, as a father, as a guy who is trying to figure things out, and I'm trying to figure out the path to the future and the path that leads to stability, I've really come to this place and this understanding that there is no stability in our near future. It's not going to happen. In fact, and this has nothing to do with politics, stability is the last thing that we can expect, at least in the next 5 to 10 years, because we are at not a pivot point, we are at the pivot point. This is the place where the world pivots. I have been talking about this for a long time, and I have been predicting these things, not predictions, but just looking at the events of the world and where we were headed in technology, and warning that this is going to be a very painful time. And we are at that pivot point right now. The world is being redesigned, whether you like it or not. And that is the strife that we're feeling. And there are people up at the top of all industry, of all countries, that are trying to use this chaos to their advantage. And so we have a choice. Last night, somebody on the staff wrote to me and said, Glenn, how can I help? And I want to read part of my response last night, because I think this goes to everybody in all of our lives. I urge this person to make notes on their opinions and their beliefs every single day. What is it you believe? We are at the question with boldness, part of our lives, and you're going to be dragged into it, kicking and screaming, or you're going to surrender to that concept, question with boldness everything, and you're going to walk through it. One, they're both going to be almost impossibly hard, they will feel at the time. But one will lead to success and the other will lead to slavery and failure. You have to know what it is you truly believe and why you believe these things. And not because you were taught or I don't know, I've always believed that. But why are those things true to you? You must know them firsthand. Because you're going to need to deliver on them every single day. And you're going to need to do it yourself. The more self-reliant you are, and this goes in every single business and every single family, every single role on earth, the more self-reliant you are, the better chance of success and survival you will have. The days of long careers are over. The days of big staffs and secretaries and all of that stuff, those are all over. By 2022, the world is going to dramatically change. You will not recognize the world in 2022. Chaos is our immediate future. We are now at the beginning of the middle, and this is where the main character in every story faces his life or death struggle. This is the point where the apex of the struggle is found, and the decision that the characters make in that part of the story leads you to the end. So we're at the beginning now of the middle. We've been writing the opening of this story for the last 20 years, maybe longer. But the middle is going to be written quickly, and it's being written every single day. Chaos right now is happening all around us, and it is the underlying tension that you're feeling. But it can be used to your advantage. Now, it can be used for good or it can be used for evil. And right now, we're seeing people use chaos mainly for evil. They are, especially in politics, power and the power centers are using chaos to rewrite history and realign the base of their power. That's what's really happening on the streets. Now, your question that you need to answer, all of us need to answer, is how can I use this chaos, this time, to bring a peaceful resolution? How can I use this time to do good instead of evil? Read Sun Tzu. Right now, our enemies are using the force of chaos in their favor. We have to use that same force to our advantage. We have to prepare. We have to read. We have to push our mind. We have to think in new and different ways. You have almost an impossible task. You have to remain young at heart and yet firm in resolve. Your heart needs to be soft and your resolve needs to be hard, really difficult. But I believe, for me at least, the only way you can do this is to take everything you know and throw it away. Learn it from the ground level, as if you were a space alien and you were coming in for the very first time. I'm going to show you in a minute how to do this. What have you been challenged on recently that you challenged yourself? You went and said, I don't know if this is really true. I've just always been taught this. When I told you about the Confederate Constitution not being about states' rights by any stretch of the imagination, and I said, don't take my word for it. Go read it yourself. Did you read it? Have you ever read it? Because you need to know that and not know that because some dope on the radio told you. You need to know it. Our children right now are failing. They're failing and they're leaving their traditions because they believe that we have lied to them. Because they see that this isn't working. And then they go out and they see the bad things that are happening in the world that we didn't prepare them for. We sheltered them from all of the bad things. And then we didn't know the bad things ourselves. We will talk about a glorious flag, but we will not teach them about the horrors that this country was involved in. You can't have the glories of America without its failings. And when they go out and they hear somebody talking about things that they can go out and quickly research and verify that, yeah, that did happen. And mom and dad or the teachers or the media source or whomever didn't tell them that, didn't prepare. All of a sudden they think we're liars. In 3 months, as little as 3 months, by Christmas time, and I don't think this is true, and I'm always wrong on timing, and I hope I'm wrong on this. I don't believe this is true, but I do believe this is a possibility that by Christmas time, we could be fighting a civil war or a global war, or perhaps both of them. Please, please, I beg you to take that warning to heart. I pray that I am wrong, but it is coming. I don't know when, but it is coming. A giant reset of the entire world is coming, and it's going to come, and it's going to come crashing down on our heads unless giants begin to rise. Now, what is a giant? When we first got into the Iraqi war, I said, look for the man who will be on the postage stamp. Look for the Iraqi that will be on the postage stamp. Well, there was never one that rose up. There was never that self-sacrificing guy who galvanized behind the idea of freedom. And that's why Iraq is a failed state. But what is a hero? A hero is... a hero is somebody that just doesn't forget what's right and true. That's it. That's it. They just know what's right and true, and they refuse to sit down. That is the only difference between us and heroes. But you're not going to be able to sit down when you are surrounded by voices telling you that you are wrong. And presenting evidence that maybe, perhaps, you've never even thought of. You can be a warrior and you can stand with the people who will fight on the streets, but those people who will fight on the streets most likely are the same guys who are going to talk about white supremacy and how bad the Jews are, or black supremacy, and strangely, how bad the Jews are. What's your message going to be? What? How do you build the framework of hope? Because once hope is lost, the cause is lost. The battle is lost. The war is lost. Some actual things I'd like to ask you to do and to ponder and think about when we come back. First, show somebody special in your life that you care and you're thinking about them. ProFlowers wants you to surprise somebody for no reason at all while they are surprising you with a special deal that they're doing right now. Get 20% off of their unique summer rose bouquets or any other bouquet of $29 or more. You get 20% off. They have a really colorful rose bouquet. If you're not sure what you want to send somebody, give that a whirl. You can see all of the other specials that they're running right now. Just go to proflowers.com. Use the promo code Glenn at checkout. For any bouquet over $29, you're going to get 20% off, but that's only if you use the promo code Glenn at proflowers.com. Don't wait, make somebody's day. Do it now for no reason at all, just because you're thinking of them and you love them. Proflowers.com, promo code Glenn.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
So where do we begin? I want to give you some actual specifics on one thing. And I'll give it to you in about 7 minutes from now. But I want to start here. We have to figure out a way to reconnect people with basic fundamental truths and basic principles that made us strong. I don't know exactly how to do that. I know I have been reading for about 15 years now to try to prepare myself mentally for this time. And honestly, it scares me that we're here. Bonhoeffer struggled with this. Gandhi struggled with this. Lincoln struggled with this. Martin Luther King struggled with this. This is not new. Have you read Gandhi's words? Really read them? Have you read Martin Luther King? Have you read Bonhoeffer? Have you read Malcolm X? And I don't mean the biographies. I mean, read their words. Most of the most important stuff they ever wrote, they wrote when they were in prison. Have you read those words? Do you know why they're true? Do you know what Bonhoeffer was afraid of? Do you know why Bonhoeffer lost and Gandhi won? I do. I'm not going to tell you the answer. I do. But it's an answer that took me a couple of years to come to. It's not going to take you that long now, because when I was looking for it, I was still in the theoretical world of what happens if America goes down this road. Now you'll be able to see it, and you will understand why Bonhoeffer lost and Gandhi won. But you can't read my words or somebody else's words. You have to read their words and figure it out for yourself. You have to find it within you. And it's time for those of us who know what time it is to put the childish things aside and realize that you were born at this time for a reason and that you're going to be a great leader if you prepare. How did Martin Luther King and Gandhi and Abraham Lincoln and Corrie Ten Boom, how did they stand? Why did they stand? What compelled them to stand? I want you to know we're going to make it and it's going to be okay. But these are the things that what they struggled with are going to be the very things that we struggle with now in our lifetime, and perhaps sooner than any of us care to believe. But the best thing I can say to you now is you have to remember this one thing. You are not going to be the man or the woman you hope to be. When trouble comes, you're only going to be the man or the woman that you are prepared to be. And that's a huge difference. And that's why I think most people fail. Men's hearts will fail them. We'll fail them, and we're seeing that now. yours will not. And I'll take the first step with you when we come back.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
So, a report came out from the U.S., the UN Commission, and this is very, very rare. They issued an early warning over the racial conditions in the United States. This is usually saved for people like the Ivory Coast.
Burundi.
The UN is alarmed over the demonstrations by a tiny fraction of the population. And they feel that they need to focus on this. They say we're alarmed by the racist demonstrations with an overtly racist slogans, chants, salutes by white nationalists, neo-Nazis, and the Ku Klux Klan, promoting white supremacy and inciting racial discrimination and hatred. The UN has not said anything about the black nationalists that hate every iota of a cracker. They are not. This is not a neutral party. And I want you to understand that I do not believe that. I believe this is just a first shot over the bow. This is the beginning of things to come. And this is a signal to the global economy as well. The United States is going unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And please don't dismiss these things. Now, what do you do about them? We have to know that there are things that we cannot change, and then there are things that we can change. And only the things that revolve around us are the things that we can change. But those are powerful. Why do you think there has been so much money spent by the powerful to make you feel like you have no power? Why do you think there's been so much time and energy spent on keeping you in your place, making you feel small and insignificant, making you want to give up? Most of us have given up on many things. Why do you think that is there? Because you are the most powerful. If we stick to our principles, if we stick to common decency, we win, because the world is going to go into chaos on both sides. And the vast majority of people do not want to follow it in through the gates of hell. They are looking for another option, but they're not seeing it from anyone. The first thing, we have to build this from scratch. And we have to start at the very beginning. And nobody can do this work except you. And I said to my wife last night, I don't know if anybody can hear me, but I feel like I'm begging the audience every day. I've never felt this way before. I feel like I am begging you to hear me. These times are here. And you need to know what is true, and you need to write the things down that are true, and you need to take everything out of you that you think you know, and realize that most of what you think you know has been put in there by someone else. And I want to show you just one basic thing. What are the things I believe in? Well, it's easy to say, well, I believe in God. But then, I just 5 minutes before I went on the air, I just wrote down just a few things. Really? I believe in God. Why? The first time I asked that question, I answered it because, well, that's what I've been taught. That's what I believe. I didn't even know how to start. I just do. Why? Why? Who taught you? Why are you taking someone else's word for it? I thought it was supposed to be a personal relationship. Why do you believe in God? if you believe in God, what's his nature? What is he? How does he work? What does that even mean? My father believed, he didn't believe in God the way I believe in God. As he used to say, an anthropomorphic being, a God that has human traits. He looked at it more as a mathematical equation. Something he used to call God first cause. Something started it all. I don't know what it is. But there is some force out there that set this equation up and set it into motion. What is it? I don't know. But I have answered for myself what I think the nature of God is. Okay, so then how does he work? What's my relationship to him? Does he expect anything from me? Do I have any responsibilities in that relationship? What is his goal? What is his promise? Why am I here? If there is a God, why is he allowing this to happen? Has God abandoned us? Has God forgotten us? Why is suffering happening? Why is evil sweeping the world? Why is it that this is a fluke of nature, this freedom, these things that we say are rights given to us by God? Well, then how come it's only been that way for 228 years out of the millions of years? How could a loving God only allow us to have these rights for 228 years? And the reign of kings and monsters and tyrants have ruled the rest. He wants me to forgive. I don't know how to forgive. What does that entail? How do I even do that? Who do I forgive? There's somebody in my life that caused a deeper scar in my life than anyone ever has, and continued for years to continue to open that scar and just keep stabbing me. And I could not forgive. And Tanya said to me at one point, you got to let this go. And she was angry because she saw what was happening. And I said, how? For 5 or 6 years, we prayed every single night and every single morning together, please, please, help me let this go. Please help me forgive. And it was really hard because the wound continued to be opened every single day, every day. And I truly believe there's no way I can ever forgive. I can't. How can I? One day, Tanya and I were in the car, and we had just been with this individual. And about a year before, we were someplace, and this individual just was so horrendous that we actually drove about 150 miles in the wrong direction before we realized that we shouldn't have been driving. Before we even realized we were headed in the wrong direction. We were just so caught up in, I can't believe what just happened. About a year later, after about 5 years of praying, we got in the car and we both just started crying. And it wasn't for us. It was for this other individual. And we were like, think of this. The pain that this individual must be in to do this. Forgiveness was easy once there was empathy. But getting there was a struggle. I didn't think it was even possible. That's what's expected of us. And it's why I have been praying lately for courage and empathy and understanding or vision. Going to need the courage to stand. You're going to need the plan or the vision to be able to see through the muck and the smoke. But you're going to need empathy because it'll be the only thing that stops you from reaching out and striking back. And boy, I know I'm in the minority of America now, I think. Everybody wants to fight back. Everybody wants to strike back. And everybody feels justified. And I get it. I do. I really get it. I can't believe what's happening to my country. I can't believe the lies that are happening. And that's why I said at the beginning of the hour, you're going to do the impossible. You're going to thread the impossible needle. You are going to have a soft heart and firm conviction. And if you think you can't do it, then I go back to, do you believe in God? Because if you do, you know, I want you to just put yourself in this situation. And what we know from history is mainly from the movies. It wasn't like this. Life was brutal. Life was short. Life was ugly. And death was violent. When people were crucified, they were crucified at eye level. They wanted you to walk into the gates knowing what happens to somebody who commits that crime. They wanted you to look in that person's eye. They also wanted the dogs to consume the bodies and rip them apart. They wanted that horror to be seen by every man, woman, and child. So it was much different than our movies make it out to be. Now think of the firm conviction to not give in all the way to the end as you're being crucified. And then as you're crucified and they're spitting on you and calling you names and they've beaten you and all of this, you look up to the sky and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Oh my gosh. And we say we can't forgive. I go back to the beginning of this break with you, and that is, I don't know if you can hear me, but I'm begging you, please, begin to do your work now, because I know this audience is the audience that turns things around. But we are at that pivot point. It's time for all of us to put the childish things aside and to do what we have to do. Our sponsor this half hour is My Patriot Supply. China is not happening, is not happy. China is demanding that the U.S. immediately withdraw the new round of North Korean sanctions. This is something that happened 2 days ago. China's foreign ministry said it has fully implemented the UN Security Council sanctions and that the new U.S. sanctions on Chinese companies and individuals will harm U.S. and Chinese ties. What happened? We did the thing in the UN, then we came back a week later and we're like, hey, by the way, this company, and these people, you're getting extra sanctions. East Asia is a tinderbox right now. The whole world is. Please prepare. Call now. 102-serving survival food kit is only $99 now. It's healthy food. It lasts up to 25 years. In the case of an emergency, you have it. Please, 800-200-7163, 800-200-7163, or order online at preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
You know, I've been talking to my staff about changing our content, finding better ways to serve you, the listener, the viewer. The first step that we had to take was listen to you, and we're still trying to listen to you and figure out how we can best serve you. Instead of bringing an audience in, which we normally do on Thursdays, I'm asking you to virtually come in. We'll be taking calls for a full hour starting from 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern. Call a few minutes early so you can get in line. We'd like to take as many calls as we can. The number is the number for the radio show, 888-727-BECK. Write it down. Begins this afternoon, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern. A conversation with you on what is on your mind, how we can help, what is happening, what you're seeing happening around. Just an open conversation. Today, only on The Blaze TV, 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Back in a minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Let me take you, before we go into the events of the day, let me give you some perspective on the past. In 1964, Barry Goldwater ran for president, and he took a hard line on foreign policy, especially on communism, the Soviet Union. And because of that and the rest of his conservative agenda, the media painted him as crazy and unfit for office. It was so bad that Fact magazine polled psychiatrists in an article titled The Unconscious of a Conservative, a special issue in the mind of Barry Goldwater. And on that cover, Fact claimed that 1,189 psychiatrists say Goldwater is psychologically unfit to be president. Wow, that is quite the statement, especially when you consider that not one of those 1,189 psychiatrists had ever examined Barry Goldwater. So he lost the election. And Fact editor Ralph Ginsberg was sued by Goldwater for libel. And he won a settlement in what today's dollars would be about $500,000. Because of that, the American Psychiatric Association's Principles of Medical Ethics instituted what is now known as the Goldwater Rule, which states that it is unethical for psychiatrists to give a professional opinion about public figures they have not examined in person and from whom they haven't obtained consent to discuss their mental health in public. So what does that have to do with us today? Well, the Goldwater Rule is being stomped all over. Listen to what the media is saying.
I question his fitness to be in this office.
Is he suffering from some kind of illness?
Is he fit for office?
Do you think this raises questions about fitness for office? You wouldn't be the first person in the coverage of this story to mention that.
Egregious, reckless behavior in the Oval Office, and it goes to the fitness of the person who's in the Oval Office.
And how this is an illustration of his lack of fitness for office.
Donald Trump is a president with whom there is grave question about his fitness and ability to conduct the office of the president.
So, instead of diagnosing politicians that you've never examined, you don't personally know, and quite honestly, you and the media do not even have a license to practice medicine, instead of doing that, why don't you let the American people and the voters think about what they think about this man? Let them decide what they think about this man. Now, if you around him who are working for him, there is a clause in the Constitution. If he is indeed unfit, well, then we have a responsibility, not us that don't know him, but those around him, those who are working around him, see him every day, to make the case. Here's what happens. Congress has to come together. People can levy a charge. And they say, and I think it's the, is it the 25th Amendment? Do you know, Pat? It's one of the amendments that says, hey, we think that this guy is unfit. He is then immediately removed from office and the vice president takes his position. And then there's a certain a period, it's been a while since I've read this, there's a certain period of time that they have to make their case and the president can respond and make his case. And if he wasn't sick, if he's fine, he goes back into the office. That's in the Constitution. That's how it works. What are you doing? If you have a case, make it. Make the legal case. But you can't. That's not what they're doing. They're just trying to smear him every way they can. Last night, Ben Shapiro was on CNN, and I saw a story, and I think this was on Business Insider. I love this. Former Breitbart editor challenges left-leaning media over its coverage of Trump. That's the headline. Now, can we ask, why would you put former Breitbart editor? Why would you put that? If you're writing for the left, why do you put that in there?
To tie him into Trump.
To tie him into Trump. Former mm-hmm. Breitbart. Why did he leave Breitbart, Pat?
Because he was not a fan of what Breitbart was doing with Trump. He wasn't in bed with Trump like Breitbart was.
He wasn't on the Trump train. He wasn't right. on the Bannon train.
It still isn't.
In fact, found it very, very dangerous. He is an outspoken person on the other side. Okay, but he's also a reasonable guy. He's also trying to speak reason to the American people. So here's what he said. Former Breitbart editor Ben Shapiro asserted in a CNN interview Wednesday night, one thing Trump has benefited from is that the left is constantly reacting to everything he says with an enormous level of passion, and that's actually negative. Shapiro was speaking about the reaction within left-leaning media circles that followed Trump's free-willing rally in Phoenix, Arizona, a day earlier, where Trump relitigated his remarks about deadly white national protests that erupted in Charlottesville, Virginia, earlier this month. While conservative media largely applauded Trump's remarks on Tuesday night, some commentators on the left-leaning media outlets called the president's behavior unhinged, a disaster, downright scary, disturbing. Trump began his remarks, I've got one paragraph of what Ben Shapiro said, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraphs in, I only have one paragraph that has anything to do with the subject in the headline. Shapiro argued that media, left liberal media, tends to take an emotional stance on Trump when the president goes off the rails. Instead of doing objective analysis of where he was not telling the truth, they jump to extraordinary critiques of his mental health and talking about how crazy and morally bereft he is. All that does is play into his crowd. The crowd thinks that the media is out to get him. His crowd thinks the media has a particular emotional animus toward him personally.
Yeah, and they do.
And they do. And they do. So how are you going to solve any problem when Don Lemon said he defended his choice to take a position on his fiery remarks, but insisted having a point of view is not the same as being biased? Shapiro responded to that assertion, whether it's true or not, that's the way a lot of his followers are going to take it. And that is true. It doesn't matter anymore. There is no nuance anymore. There's no nuance. If you're on CNN, you're a bad guy. If you're on Fox, you're a bad guy to the other half. That's it. You can't have reasoned responses to things because reason has gone out of fashion. Do I think that Donald Trump, does he scare me at times? Scares the living hell out of me. And he should scare the living hell out of anybody who is still has a rational being in their head. But so does Antifa. So do many of the people in the media. So does Bill Maher, who says, boy, I hope we have a stock market crash. He just said that last week. Who would hope for that? Who would hope for that? That means millions of people lose their retirement money. That means that our pensions, anybody who worked for a pension, you have a massive stock market crash. Your pension is over. How much was Powerball worth last night? Final, Jeffy?
$750
million. $750 million. May I make a suggestion? Take the frickin' cash. Take the lump payment. How could we have people who are rooting for the downfall of the economy, that they are the sane ones? There's a story today on The Blaze about a woman in Louisville. She's with Black Lives Matter. And she's saying, basically all you white people need to leave your houses to black or brown people when you die. What? What are you talking about? What? No, I don't think so. I'll leave my house to whoever I want to leave my house to, if I even have a house to leave to somebody. She was saying all kinds of horrible racist things and calling white people all kinds of names, and that if, you know, you're in work and you hear anybody say anything about this rally that might offend you, you take their picture, you put them out on Facebook and Twitter, and you get them fired. What is that? There's no difference between the Nazis and that. The Black Lives Matter, who, they're not about Black lives. They're about the destruction of America. Don't take my word for it. Read their own manifesto. Read their own website. Now, does that mean that everybody in Black Lives Matter is that way? No, no. It just means the leadership is. Now, I can say that, but the media won't even say anything bad about Black Lives Matter. They won't even mention the manifesto. And if they do mention the manifesto, they say, well, those are just the crazy people and most people don't read that. Well, okay. I wish I could make the same point about the Nazis, but the Nazis are so well known. If you're signing up to stand around a bunch of Nazis, I think you know what you're doing. But at some point, people didn't know what the Nazis stood for, and look what they turned into. We have to have we have to fix reason firmly in her seat again. We have to know history, know why, know what the Goldwater rule is, know how this was used before to destroy people. If you continue to oppress or make people feel oppressed, there is no justice in reversing the oppression. There is justice in stopping oppression. There is no justice in forcing everyone to accept, embrace, or celebrate your lifestyle just because somebody else tried to force you to accept, embrace, and celebrate their lifestyle. They were wrong when they did it. You're wrong when you're doing it. There are some really brave people standing up. And sometimes you can't tell the difference between the brave people and the crazy people until you hear them talk enough. But because we live in a culture that spends no more than 10 seconds per story, you read a story on Facebook, you most likely, the average person, is 6 to 10 seconds on a story. Nobody's reading. I guess I read you six paragraphs before it said something true about what Ben Shapiro said. You're not making it down six paragraphs. It's not happening. You don't know who the good guys and the bad guys are because nobody's listening to them long enough. Somebody's going to come along and say some things that maybe you really agree with. But can you listen to them for longer than 10 seconds to make sure that they're also not crazy? That they're also not saying things that you strongly disagree with? We now have the national anthem being protested. And quite honestly, I'm not married to the national anthem. I'm not. The national anthem only came into play under FDR. We didn't have a national anthem until FDR. Think of that. We didn't have a national anthem until the 1940s. This isn't something that came from our founders. We didn't have a standardized flag until Woodrow Wilson. Why did they do that? Why do we have a national anthem and why do we have a standardized flag? It meant nothing to our founders. It meant nothing to our country for the longest period of time. Why all of a sudden are we willing to fight and die over that? Because of heritage. But heritage is a really frightening thing because it's being misused and twisted. And I want to get into that if we can today, but I also want to tell you about the current struggle of what is happening now at football games when the national anthem is played. Take a knee. Next. Sponsor this half hour is SimpliSafe Home Security. Extended their biggest ever summer sale to September 3rd. Burglary rates spike during the summer, but you don't have to worry about it with SimpliSafe. They're going to take $100 off right now of SimpliSafe's summer special package. It has everything that you need to keep your home safe. Round-the-clock monitoring is only $14.99 a month. That's $15 a month with no long-term contract, nothing to lock you in. It's protection done the right way. Don't miss out. This offer ends September 3rd. Go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. You're going to save $100. SimpliSafeBeck.com. Do it now. SimpliSafeBeck.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So glad you're here. Not everybody is excited about the latest wave of national anthem protesters. One NFL player's wife, Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, his wife Kelly, made her opinion pretty loud and clear in an Instagram post this week. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, she said something like the national. I don't have it right in front of me, but she said the national anthem isn't the national police anthem. I mean, that's so true. It's not about the police. It's about pride in the country. And, you know, you mentioned that.
I'm not even sure it's about pride in the country.
I think it is. I mean, the way it was written from Francis Scott Key and the way it came about, I mean, that's definitely about love and pride in the country.
Let's go through that in a minute, because I'd like to go there. Here's what she actually wrote. If you think the country can be better, stand for the ideal. If you think the answer is people showing unity, then stand with them. The anthem is not the national police song. The anthem is not the national racist song. The anthem is an exercise on how this country can endure and rise. How we can agree on its future potential, even while struggling with its present. That's
pretty great.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. However, people were not happy with her.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, you can't have that opinion anymore.
No. She had to respond a couple of hours later. I meant no disrespect with my last post. If you know me personally, you know I love mostly everyone, and I try to be as open as possible.
Look how they send people running for the hills.
They sure do. And it
happens every time. Stop caving in to this stuff. If people, you need to toughen up a little bit and realize. Twitter is not reality, okay? Twitter is the sedge pool of society.
I don't know that I agree with that.
Of society. That's what it is. It's garbage.
It's the crack that makes you think you can fly. It's the crack that makes you think that you are invincible. You're taking a hit off of a drug. These Facebook and Twitter, that's nothing more than a drug that is making you feel like you are invincible. And
you are, because you're anonymous and you can say whatever you want.
Yep.
And
nobody cares. It seems, unless you disagree with the vast majority of people happen to be reading that and sharing that with their friends. It's not reality. And you need to know what you believe, and then just let it go. Just let it go.
We are one. The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So let's take a minute to know what we're protesting, shall we? You know, the Star Spangled Banner is something that is always performed with vim and vigor and boast. And the Millennial Orchestra and Choir, I did a project with them. It's called To Be an American, and it's a collection of American songs. And I told them the story of some of these songs, like the Star Spangled Banner. And it's not a boastful song. It is a song that really is pensive and calls each American to ask themselves, is this going to last another day? The Star Spangled Banner was first recognized as our national anthem, but not officially, by Woodrow Wilson in 1916. Congress didn't make it our official national anthem until the 1930s, I think 31. Before that, it was Hail Columbia, which, oof, that's a bad song. Also, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, which is God Save the Queen. We just took their music and replaced the lyrics. So this is something that is relatively new. It's 100 years old as our national anthem, and not even officially. 100 years ago, out of 228, 100 years ago, we decided, yep, that's us. But we misinterpret the whole thing. If you really actually listen, you hear a different story entirely. You have to understand that this is the War of 1812, and Washington is on fire. And Francis Scott Key goes out, and he's on a mission for President James Madison. And he goes out to a ship where they are holding a couple of prisoners. They're American prisoners. The British are holding them on a ship. One of them is a famous doctor at the time who is accused of getting a bunch of British rounded up and arrested. And so Francis Scott Key, on an official, under a flag of truce, goes on board this British ship and says, hey, we want to exchange prisoners. Well, during dinner, they start talking about an attack that they're going to do. And this attack that they're now planning, Francis Scott Key and his partner hear. And the captain of the ship realizes, I can't let you guys go because now you're going to tell your side. You're going to tell the Americans. So you have to stay on the ship until this battle is over. So, in a story that seems to be becoming more and more impossible for me to tell, they're in the ship and they're watching the battle over Fort McHenry. And they're seeing the rockets, and they're seeing a small, I'm trying to remember what it's called. Is it called a battle banner? They're seeing a small flag over the fort. And it's the battle flag. It's not the big one. It's a small one. And they're watching this through the night. Now, the next morning, they don't know if there's going to be a country left. So as they're watching this, they are peering through the slats of the ship in the portholes. They're hearing the battle rage on. And they are staying up and trying to stay awake. And all they're doing is watching that little teeny banner. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight over the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets' red glare and the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. They only knew that they were still a country, that Fort McHenry was still there and still operating and the fight was still going on, when there was an explosion, because there was nothing lighting up that flag. It was just the rockets' red glare. It was just the explosions and the fire that allowed them to see that little teeny flag was still flying. On the shore, dimly seen through the mists of the deep, where the foe's haughty hosts in dread silence reposes. What is that which the breeze o'er the towering steep, as it fitfully blows, half conceals, half discloses? Now it catches the gleam of the morning's first beam, in full glory reflected, now shines in the stream. It is the star-spangled banner, and long may it wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. In the morning, the first thing they did when they opened their eyes, if they had been able to shut their eyes, was to look for that flag. And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country, should leave us no more? Their blood has washed out of their foul footsteps pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and the slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave, and the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave. Oh, thus be it forever when freemen shall stand between their loved homes and their war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heavens rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. You know, most people don't know. And in fact, I would guarantee you that everyone who is taking a knee at the Star-Spangled Banner has never heard the sixth stanza. We know there's five. Those are all printed. Did you know that the Star-Spangled Banner added a sixth stanza? It's 1861. And this is added. When our land is illuminated with liberty's smile, if a foe from within strike a blow at her glory, down, down with the traitor that dares to defile the flag of her stars and the page of her story. By the millions unchained who our birthright have gained, we will keep her bright blazon forever unstained, and the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave, while the land of the free is the home of the brave. Tell me that this doesn't stand for freedom for all.
Yeah.
our ignorance of our own history, our arrogance that has taken a story and turned it into nothing but something that precedes the cheer after play ball is shouted. I promise you now, if we do not reconnect with our history, both the good and the bad, if we throw the baby out with the bathwater, the plea that is the Star Spangled Banner, it is not boastful. It is not about war. It is a plea. I promise you, if we don't reconnect with both the good and the bad and make peace with both the good and the bad, it will not be too long before we get up in the morning and we ask sincerely, does the flag still wave? Is it still there? Are we still America? Has it been taken down? Has it been lost overnight? Our sponsor this half hour is Mercury Real Estate. I want to tell you about Antonio's story. Antonio went on to realestateagentsitrust.com. Within a week, he met his agent. That weekend, Antonio's agent had four visits lined up for his house, and on Tuesday, Antonio had an offer on his home. Real Estate Agents I Trust. They're going to find a great real estate agent in your town. We have over 1,000 agents all over America who are just like you. They feel the same things you feel. They believe many of the same things you do. We're not going to agree on everything, but some basic principles like my word is my bond and a handshake is good enough. They're going to help you sell your home and buy a new home. Real Estate Agents I Trust, put them to the test. The results have been remarkable. You can read about it at realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
We are going to, you know, we're being torn apart. Colin Kaepernick is becoming a hero, I guess, of some sort. The NFL.
Which is absolutely crazy.
Crazy.
I mean, the guy doesn't even, he doesn't even understand what has happened in most of these police shooting cases.
Or defenses. He doesn't understand them either.
Or those.
That's another problem.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You see the guy who got, you know, the guy who got the tear gas can to the twigs and berries?
I didn't know that story.
Oh, yeah. He went down.
He went down for the count.
That's what he gets.
Oh, man. Go back and watch the video. Everybody's watching the tear gas can to the pants.
Yeah.
Look who goes out and rescues him. He's a guy wearing a Colin Kaepernick jersey.
But it wasn't Colin.
Oh, man.
You know, I just saw the jersey. I didn't look. It might have been Colin.
I don't think he wears his jersey out.
You never know. I don't.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Here's what you need to know on the TSA pat-downs. They're back in the news, back in the spotlight. And now there's a new, even more intensive procedure that some travelers have to endure. And to many people, it borders on sexual assault. 56-year-old Jenna McFarlane, she's traveling from Charlotte to Baltimore. She described her recent experience like this. The pat-down was done over my clothes. They explored my breasts, my crotch, and my buttocks. I did not imagine that she would ask me a few times to spread my legs wider and, in fact, touch my vagina four times with the side of her hand. This is what she wrote in a complaint. She told everyone in the TSA, everyone who would listen to her, that she had been humiliated. She took her complaints to the TSA and to her congressman. So now she's been talking to them for months. And she said, quote, I've learned a lot in the following months about how well the TSA had done their job and that Congress had approved the procedure. I've emerged with a healthy respect for the hard work of the TSA agents and how much they, too, must loathe this procedure. I've always had it in me that as Americans, I should help other Americans. This I felt like was the opposite. But now that I've spoken with the TSA, I realize there was no way I could help them other than to submit to what I and others have described as humiliation. I thought to myself then, there must be another way, end quote. Ha. Huh. Wow. I wish I could talk to my congressman in the TSA so they could make things so much better for me, too. There is another way. In fact, there are lots of different ways. We don't need to roll over and play dead while someone does random searches. They are not effective. We can be smarter, and we're better than this. And if the TSA, your congressman, or your media source aren't telling you that, then it's time for a new TSA, another congressman, or a new media source.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Oh. Okay, Google and Walmart are now teaming up. Amazon wasn't invited. Amazon, the largest online retailer, and a big reason physical stores are now struggling. Walmart is the largest offline retailer and is a very distant second when it comes to online sales. They've been trying to make up the difference for years now. Walmart is really, really struggling hard. They're getting beat to death. And in, where is it, Bentonville? Bentonville, the layoffs are really quite intense, as you're going to have to reinvent yourself, you know, every 5 years. And what they built no longer is what the world is using. Now they're teaming up with Google, and they're going to sell their products on Google Express. This is Google's digital shopping mall where you can buy things, you know, Target, Costco, Walgreens, etc. The partnership lets shoppers order from Walmart using Google Home, just like Amazon's Echo. So now what does this mean? This means for Walmart that they're going to have, you know, more customers and they're going to slide into Amazon's territory. Is Amazon and Google going head to head? And everybody, if you want to stay in business, you better get on the Amazon train or the Google train or some train, because all the trains are leaving the station and they're all run by these four companies.
I think that calls into Facebook right now.
Yeah.
Just submit. I think that's the easier way to do it.
It is. I have learned that there's a better way, and it is Google.
Did you hear the
At first, I thought there wasn't, but they convinced me it's the only way to go.
Did you see Amazon Instant, too? Which they're going to be doing these lockers they're setting up at, like, gas stations? And you can just go, like, order, and, like, a minute later, or 2 minutes later, go pick it up at a place. So like if you're driving back, you're getting gas.
Yeah, but I don't want to go pick it up.
No, I know it's like
pick it up.
Well, it's the fastest way you can get something.
What do you mean these lockers?
They're like setting up almost like gym lockers. Yeah. And like all these like basic necessities. They're doing it particularly in college towns. But like basic necessities you might need instead of having to order to get them delivered from the store, which Amazon Prime Now can take up to like 2 hours. So who can wait that long? And so you can just, you know, stop by on your way home or just walk by at one of these lockers and pick up whatever the necessity is that you need.
Okay, so now here is another big change that is coming to America. Have you ever heard of Lidl? L-I-D-L, Lidl. It's a European grocery chain. Grocery chain. You heard about this?
It's a new store.
Yeah. Have you seen one yet?
Saw pictures.
Okay. They are 9% cheaper than Walmart.
Wow.
9% cheaper. And they offer products as much as 50% less than rival stores, but on the average, 9% less. 10% is a lot of cash.
Where are their products being made? Walmarts are all in China. Are they making them in Bangladesh?
So
where are these being made?
So here's how they do it. Most of the products they have are private label brands. 90% products in Lidl stores are private label brands, products manufactured specifically for Lidl. So it's a name you can trust. Mm. Two, they have a limited selection of products. They instead, I mean, right now, remember I told you that, 10 or 15 years ago, the most elaborate grocery stores had between 10 and 20,000 products on the shelves. The nice grocery stores now, the really, you know, really nice grocery stores have 60,000 different products on the shelves.
That's too much. There's too many options.
No, it's not.
There's too many options.
I love it.
That's great.
Lidl only has 2,000 products.
Oh, wow.
Okay?
That's a big difference.
It stocks the fast-moving items, the things that people buy most often. So they're limited to the fast-moving items, which means they don't have the money tied up in inventory. Their stores are relatively small on average. They're 20,000 square feet, which is larger than most European stores, but a quarter the size of the traditional U.S. Supermarket like Kroger. It also has very few staff members, so it is automating an awful lot of stuff. And oh my gosh, that's evil. They're saving me money. It displays all the products in the boxes that they came, and they cut costs by building one wall of the store and sometimes two walls of the store with nothing but glass. And that way it's all natural light that's coming into the store, and they don't have to spend so much money on lighting.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they looked at every way that the grocery store was inefficient and wasteful, and they don't spend a ton on ads. That's how they're doing. That's how they're 9% cheaper.
No, they just had Walmart. Heidi Klum as a spokesperson.
Do they?
Yeah, she's their big front person now. Coming into the States.
I mean, things are changing at such a breathtaking pace that, I mean, things are changing for, you know, retail outlets, for malls, for grocery stores.
Everything.
Theaters. The theater chains are all freaked out because they're about to really drastically shorten the time between the release at a movie theater and the release at home.
I have to buy this, Stu. This is perfect for me. What is the service that you just found for movie theaters?
MoviePass. We're actually going to talk to the CEO next week, I believe.
Okay. I don't know how.
$10 a month.
I don't know how they're doing this. So MoviePass, you buy MoviePass. It's $10 a month. You can go to unlimited number of movies.
It's unlimited. It's one per day. You'd be limited to 31 in a month.
Okay. So you can go see one per day, no double features, and you can't repeat. You can't go see the same movie over and over again.
Still, that's a crazy deal.
For a guy like me, I see four movies a month.
Crazy. If the $50 price would have been good for you.
Yeah.
And even if you see one a month.
Okay, so can't figure out how are they making money? Well, it's not that hard if you see who's signing up for them. For instance, in our area, it's Movie House Bar and Grill, right?
That's one of them, yeah. There's a bunch, yeah.
So the way movie theaters are changing is they're selling food. So movies are making money off of the concessions. Mm-hmm. The one that's going to be a problem is the movie companies themselves. Because if I go to four movies, I have to buy a ticket, and the movie company wants their ticket. So,
but that is the problem of the of of MoviePass, not of the movie companies, because they are paying full price tickets for every single time you go, somehow.
Oh, I know.
We will ask the CEO. It's Tuesday at this time, so if you want to hear how the heck doing this, we will try to find out for you
on Tuesday. I think it's fantastic. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I just haven't gotten around to it, but I got to sign up for MoviePass.
Went to a movie with my kids this weekend. And I mean, right on the app, you just pick my theater. I put the time. I picked the pre-selected seating, too. It was one of those, you know, seating. It was a dine-in theater. Put it in like that. It worked perfectly fine. Walked up, told them my confirmation number, and walked right in. And it's $10 a month. And the movie would have cost me $10 anyway. So now I'm even for any other movies I want to go to this month.
So it's $10 per person. So
yeah, per person.
At Movie House and Eatery, how do they when their lowest price is $12, how are they taking somebody's $10 ticket?
They're not taking a $10 ticket. That's the thing.
They're not. They're
Movie Pass is giving $12 to...
Okay, so they're paying the $12 to Movie House.
How are they doing this?
It's amazing.
I mean,
they're just hoping for volume.
Like that old Saturday Night Live bit where the bank, all they did was make change, and everyone asked, how did you make money off of this? And they just said, volume. How does that work? I don't know. I seriously can't wait to ask this guy this. The only thing I can come up with, as I've been thinking about the business model, is they think over time, they hope so many people will sign up, they will have enough of an army to go to these companies and say, okay, instead of giving you full price, now we're going to give you half price for each movie. And hoping that they will take it because they'll still make money off.
As an investor, that's a risky idea.
Yeah, I mean, AMC. I mean,
especially in New York City, what is it, $15?
$16 a ticket in Manhattan.
So you're losing $6 a ticket.
Every time someone goes. So how does this work? Now, obviously, there will be some people who don't see a movie in a month. And it's only $10. I don't think that's going to make up for the people who go see 4, 6, 8, 10 movies in a month. I mean, people will go. They'll go all the time when it's free.
For me. Yeah. I mean, I see a lot of movies, but I can see 4 movies easy a month.
Easy
a month.
You go to double features, and then that wouldn't work with this, but you'd only have to pay for one extra ticket, I guess. But I mean, you do, and you have a full-time job, and you do a lot of things. Think of like a college town where, like, you know, you've got all this extra time to like roll out with your friends to go see movies. They'll see 25 movies in a week. They'll see everything at the multiplex at multiple theaters. I don't know how they think this is going to work. Honestly, at $50 a month.
I would have paid the $50.
Yeah, I mean, it's legitimate. Yeah. I would absolutely play $25 or
$30. I'm glad they don't know that, because $10 is a lot better.
And we're going to tell him when he's on, we wouldn't have paid that.
No way. That's a crazy amount. Finally,
had I known that, if it was, because at $40 a month, I wouldn't have, because movies here are $10, I just probably wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
But if it was $30, $20 a month, I would have done that because I would have done that. Most people, I don't think, will see the amount of movies that I see.
However, with this deal. I mean, if you're paying $10 to $20, $30 a month, you might go to the movies more, right? Like you'll be more willing to, hey, you know, I've got a couple hours open, you know, instead of going to the gym. I know we all are big gym rats here. So instead of maybe skip a gym trip here or there and hit the movies.
I can't skip a gym trip. You'd have to. You know, that just substitute something.
I know, Pat. I'm sorry.
If I opened up all my gym time, that would give me no extra time. But I see your point.
I know you're not dedicated like we are.
Yeah,
you're not dedicated.
It's an incredible deal, though, and I will say, I've had some issues with certain parts of it signing up, like because they give you a MoviePass card that they supposedly mail to you, which I've not been able to acquire that yet. However, on the app is a bunch of theaters you can choose from, and just through the app was able to get in already. It's already worked for me. So, I mean, I don't know how it's a sustainable business model. And AMC Theaters, one of the big chains, is saying, hey, guys, I don't know how this is a sustainable business model, and they're threatening legal action, but I don't know how. What do they care? They're getting full price tickets every time. I don't know why they care.
See the writing. They have to see the writing on the wall, right? I mean,
you don't have to. It's month by month. You can cancel it anytime.
Anytime.
Right?
Yep. And so the rumor is, or at least the theory is, that AMC's thinking people are going to get used to paying $10 for a month to see multiple movies, and then when this company dissolves, everyone's going to get pissed off at them. But I mean, you know,
It is a Marxist plant to overthrow the bourgeoisie.
Wow.
That are running the movie theaters. Deep. They're all like, we can take them down. We'll get everybody used to $10 and then nothing. And they'll all go out and all the movie theaters, we can set them all on fire.
That's how this works. Yeah. It's how it happens in every
movie. It happened. Well, nowhere else, but it could have.
Still could have.
It could have.
It could have.
What if it did?
What if it did?
What if it did? And now this. You ever get so tired and so run down, you just collapse in bed?
Yes, every night.
You ever get to the point to where you you get up in the morning and then you still collapse back in bed? You just stand up and then you're just like, I can't. And you just crawl back into bed?
Yes, every morning.
Okay, yeah, that's me too good. You need a Casper mattress. Casper's two high-tech foams guarantee that you're going to have a great night's sleep. Cool, comfortable, fully supported every single night. Ships in a box so small that you're not going to believe it's holding a mattress. You can carry it from your front door easy, by yourself, easy. Pick it up, throw it on the where you want the bed, open the box up, cut the ribbon tying this thing up. Be careful, make sure you only open it where you want the mattress, because it's a full-size mattress, boom, in an instant. Anyway, they're going to send it to you. You can try it risk-free. If you don't love it after 100 nights, send it back. They're going to come and they're going to pick it up and they're going to refund all the money. There's no hassle. It's Casper Mattress. Sleep cool and comfortable every night. Get a Casper Mattress. Try yours for 100 nights. Free shipping and returns. Go to Casper.com. Use the promo code BECK. $50 off the purchase of your mattress. It's Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply. It's Casper.com.
You're listening
to the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. 888-727-BECK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Beach police just stopped by to tell me that the grocery store Lidl is pronounced Lidl.
Lidl.
And I'm sorry to, you know, all the Nazis I offended. I don't speak Nazi.
You will soon.
But,
Is
it run by Nazis?
Well, you know, Germans.
Yeah. Okay.
Lidl just sounds more Nazi than little. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does.
You know, Lidl. Oh, look at my little Lidl. Uh-huh. I know. I saw. Where's your German Shepherd?
You expect Edelweiss to begin.
Yes, I do. I do. So thank you for that, Stu. There is also a new report out. This is a phone survey. So I don't know who has a phone and then who answers the phone and then finds out it's a survey and then answers that. But those people, whoever they are, 85% of Americans believe that people have the right to free speech, and it is more important than making sure no one is offended by what others say. 8% think it's more important to make sure that no one gets offended. This shows little change from past surveys. 83% think it's more important for the United States to guarantee freedom of speech than it's to make sure that nothing is done to offend other nations and cultures. 73% agree with the line from Voltaire, "I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it." Only 10% disagree with that statement. 17% are undecided. I think that's because you're like, to the death, really?
Yeah. I might say something.
I got to stand up and I'm going to be like, hey, dude, you got a right to say that, but to the death.
You start getting out, you know, weapons, I'm probably going to shut up.
I'm like, whatever. I didn't really agree with that either. Yeah. I mean, it was my mom, so she's lived a good life. Anyway, there's more to the survey. Back in just a second.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. So is this a new stance from Roy Moore, or is this, I shouldn't say this, is this something that they're digging up from his past in 2008? Roy Moore is running for the Senate as a Republican, and he said, let me give you a couple of quotes. My opinion is there's a big question about the citizenship of President Obama. My personal belief is that he wasn't, and that's probably over and done in a few days, unless we get something else to come along, meaning he wasn't born here in the United States.
Heaven help us.
I
that's got to be an old quote, right? Why would you bring
well,
that up?
Well, that one is an old quote.
2008.
Right.
That's got to be.
Is this... this is 2009. I haven't seen one thing in the press about this, and yet the President of the United States will not present his birth certificate, yada, yada, yada.
2009.
I remember him being on that bandwagon. That's because at the time he was writing for WorldNet Daily, and their big deal was every day the birther stuff.
2013, Alabama Supreme Court case closely tied to the birther conspiracy. Court ruled 7-2 in dismissing a lawsuit that sought to have Alabama Secretary of State certify the birth certificate of presidential candidates. He was part of that.
Oh, man.
And that, I think, is the last time. I hope he's not bringing that up now. But that's what, you know, that's what CNN is reporting. And
pathetic.
You know, whatever. There's a couple of other things here that I think are interesting. Did
but
you
they
see?
Had a chance in Alabama to pick somebody really good, and they blew it. So,
yeah. Did you see the story about the latest poll numbers for Donald Trump? And this is being spun, and I don't. I mean, I don't. I'm tired of trying to figure out what the angle of the press is on both the left and the right. You know what I mean? Just can you just give me the news? This is no different than any other president, any other incumbent. It's right in the pack. It's, you know, the right is reporting it as this is a runaway freight train for Donald Trump. No, it's not. It's right in the center of the pack, right where everybody usually is at this time in their presidency. And the left is trying to scare you into, oh my gosh, look, he'd win today. No, he wouldn't. I mean, he would if the primary, this is primary, this is not general election, this is primary. And who's he running against?
Who's going to primary him?
Who's going to primary him?
Right nobody. Now, nobody.
Nobody was going to primary President Obama. Nobody was going to primary President Clinton. Nobody was going to primary, President Carter. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen.
It's very unlikely. Usually, and there can be somebody, right? Harry Anton went back and looked at the previous incumbents who there was early polling in their presidency against a future primary. Jimmy Carter in 1978 had 58% of the vote against Jerry Brown at the time, 23. Bill Clinton, 72-19 against the potential challenger at the time, Colin Powell, which is weird because he was a Republican, right? I guess not.
No.
Barack Obama, 52-37 over Clinton. However, again, you're at the point there where, you had a really big name challenger at that point. And then Trump came in at 54, and then Cruz, Kasich, Sass, and Cotton were also listed at 13, 10, 1, and 1. So if you look at it, just kind of like, it's hard because there's four challengers there, but if you look at like what they got, Carter 58, Clinton 72, Obama 52, Trump 54. So he's slightly outperforming Obama and slightly underperforming Carter, and Clinton had really good numbers at that time. But he's in the middle of the pack there. Like that's not a terrible number for him against a primary field. Not a great number for him against a primary field.
It's probably not going to happen anyway.
And it's probably not going to
happen.
If he gets into the 22-23% approval rating, then you'll see people jump into the mix.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. I think the press has so misplayed this. The left has so misplayed this. As far as if that was your real goal, but that's not the real goal. The real goal is to paint everybody on the left as a racist and a bigot on the right. Mm-hmm. Paint everybody as a racist and a bigot and to prove how right they really were so they can, they can sweep out the Republicans for all time. That's their goal. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Yeah, and I don't think
they're just using him as a excuse, and he's making it very easy for them.
And low 20s is basically impossible without a huge event. I mean, he can't flub a response to a crisis badly enough in his words to get to 22%.
Well,
but there are things that can happen to bring you that low.
I've heard a rumor that he's quitting by the end of the year to sell facial cream.
What?
Yeah, he's you know,
that is weird.
He's starting a new business. He hasn't talked about it much. He's just getting it going. Mm-hmm. But there's a new facial cream that he's working on that he wants to get out of the presidency and go devote full time to that because it's going so well for him.
Is this the thing that's causing stress in his marriage with Melania?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
We're not talking about that, really, because she doesn't know he's leaving to sell facial cream yet.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, is this the thing where the reporter went off script and asked them that question?
Yes.
And you're not going to believe what happened next?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Now, you may believe it because you've heard it with about 830 other people, but...
And all of them seem to be in their current jobs, though.
Yes, they do.
But that
they're all leaving pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happens to the economy? What happens to entertainment? What happens to government when all these people
selling facial cream.
Well, the only thing I know
there's going to be a glut of facial cream providers.
And I think it's got a real supply demand issue.
It's not a smart move. It's going to be a very crowded market very soon.
Unless you have the quintessential facial cream.
Yeah. And
maybe he does. Donald does.
Of course he does.
He has all the best stuff,
of course
right?
He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. My understanding is it's all the same brand of facial cream. That's the issue. Yeah,
it's like Avon. It's going to be, we're going to have celebrities at our door all the time.
Yeah, 3, 4, 5 times a day. Yeah. You're just like, oh, it's Eva Longoria. every day. Something every single
like,
day.
Oh, I can't stand seeing Eva Longoria in my house over and over and over again pushing this damn facial cream.
You want to talk about creating jobs, though. I mean, Trump promised to create jobs, and now he's creating
facial cream. We're going to be the king of the facial cream market. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to corner that
market globally.
It'll
finally be something America will be known for.
Facial cream.
For the home of facial cream.
Yeah.
Because so far, we've been relatively, we haven't really been notable in our history, and we need the facial cream thing to kind of bring us to, people will notice, hey, that country with the 50 stars on the flag is doing something over there, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe even North Korea will show us some respect then, you know? Look at us and say, wow.
It's interesting you should bring that up. Kim Jong-un is retiring at the end of this year to sell facial cream.
Shut up. He is too. But he's a communist. He's not a capitalist.
I know, but
he's why he's keeping it from his people?
He's keeping it from his people.
How does the web ad you're clicking on right now know this information?
I don't know, man. Reporter is asking all the right questions, I guess, off the record.
It was going fine. They were just talking about nuclear war.
Yeah.
And the guy said, hey, what about this rumor of you with the facial cream products? And
so
he just broke.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So what do you think the odds are that Donald Trump just leaves the office?
Well, the author of Art of the Deal has predicted that's going to happen by the end of the year, and not just
end of the year.
The end of the year.
Yeah, not going to happen.
No,
but I don't think it will by the end of the year. But I could see him getting really frustrated with this. Couldn't you?
Oh, I could. Yeah, I could see him. I think Breitbart's going to start their own TV thing. Mm-hmm. And, make a home for Donald Trump, and it will be the biggest deal because he will just, he could just leave. I'm not suggesting that he should do this, but I could see it happening. I'm not even suggesting he would, but I could see it happening. I mean, if he's willing to leave for facial cream.
Right.
Certainly.
Right.
But I could see him getting so frustrated with the news and just going, you know what? Mm-hmm. Enough is enough. I'm going to start my own news network. I'm going over there. And he just starts an alt-right news network with Breitbart, and they make commentary.
I mean, if he's supplementing his income with face cream sales, he might as well do that.
do you want the 2020 odds to win the presidency?
Yeah.
We have those.
Okay. Oh, boy.
So Donald Trump is leading the pack as the incumbent, 3.5 to 1, which is not great for an incumbent.
No. 3.5 to 1.
The next highest on the list at 8 to 1, Joe Biden.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He is going to be
old.
76, 77?
Yes. Yeah.
But he doesn't look it because he uses this great facial cream.
Really?
Yeah. That's what keeps him looking so young.
No wonder so many people are getting out of their current business.
I don't
to
think
sell
Joe
it.
Uses face cream. He uses the other kind of cream.
Which kind?
The rear end cream.
What?
Yes.
What do you mean the
what
rear
are you
end?
Talking I don't about. Know about the rear end cream.
Oh, yeah. You mean like preparation
hemorrhoid cream. Yeah, hemorrhoid cream.
Oh, okay.
What the hell is on your face?
Oh, yeah.
Why would you use it on your face?
Because it makes you look younger.
It does?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's
he uses it on his face.
That is Jeffy's
thing. He uses it on his face because he's an ass. That's why.
It was close, but thank you. Thank you for stopping yourself. That's interesting.
Oh, my.
But it's also accurate. Next up, so you have Trump at 3.5 to 1, Biden at 8 to 1. Who would you say is next on the list?
Biden 8
Any
to
guesses?
1. Richard Warren. Gephardt.
Gephardt, of course, is 1 to 1 if he runs.
Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren, good guess. She's next.
Oh.
She's at 15 to 1. There's someone at 12 to 1.
Ooh.
It's sort of revealing, I think, of the situation, at least the way people perceive it.
Al Gore.
Hillary Clinton.
No. Mike Pence.
Oh. Now,
the favorite is Donald Trump. Mike Pence at 12 to 1, which you could see being like either Trump decides he's not going to run again or
that's
you know,
the only way.
Scandal
Pence
or whatever.
Does not run against his president.
No, absolutely.
No way. And I don't think he... If Donald Trump just serves one term, Mike Pence is not the guy who's going to come in and go, I'm going to rescue the... And I don't know if he'd win, in the second term, but he'd need at least 2 years of doing something really, really great.
You're saying if he... because if he leaves in scandal, you're right. He'd need time to, like... build up his own presence.
Or if he just leaves, if Donald Trump just is like, you know what?
Screw you guys, I'm going
home. Screw you.
Yeah, right. He'd need some time. However, if Trump decided, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore.
It will change to a Democrat.
Let me give you some other names. Bernie Sanders next at 20 to 1. Mm. Deval Patrick, 20 to 1. Kamala Harris, who seems like she's making no noise as if
she's going to run, but it's at 20 to 1. Wow.
Cory Booker, 30 to 1. That's not a zero chance thing. I think Cory Booker loves the media. Mm-hmm. It's not a zero chance. Terry McAuliffe at 30 to 1, which seems impossible to me. Tom Perez at 30 to 1.
Oh, my gosh.
Al Franken, 35 to 1. Amy Klobuchar, 35 to 1. Andrew Cuomo, 40 to 1. Gavin Newsom, 40 to 1.
Listen to this Democrat bench.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Terrible. Ted Cruz, 45 to 1. Ben Sasse, 50
to 1. Wow. Wow, stop for a second. Uh-huh. I forgot that we had just talked about Pence. I was just thinking that this was just all Democrats.
Right.
No, we get to 45 to 1 before you hit another Republican.
Well, except for Pence, right? But I mean, why would you?
Wow.
You would, what they're assuming, of course, they're not going to challenge Trump in a primary, so they're less likely. Let's give you a couple of other names down the list. 50 to 1, Marco Rubio. 50 to 1, Mark Zuckerberg. 50 to 1, Paul Ryan.
I gotta tell you, if Mark Zuckerberg chooses to run, I would not necessarily...
You can't discount anything.
I wouldn't discount that
at
all.
Not after what we just saw. You can't discount anything. Mm. Is Tom Hanks listed here?
Let's see. I haven't seen Hanks yet. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is on there. 70 to 1.
I think he's going to run.
He might.
He might. Nikki Haley, 70 to 1. John Kasich, 75 to 1, which
no,
is funny.
No,
he's behind Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Thank goodness. Good.
How about this? Mark Cuban, 75 to 1.
No.
Michelle Obama, 75 to 1. Holy crap.
That's a good bet.
Mitt Romney, 75 to 1. Hillary Clinton.
Poor Mitt Romney.
I know.
He ran twice. Got his face kicked in twice by the American people just for being a decent human being. Disagree with his politics, but he was the only decent guy we've seen. And we just kicked the snot out of him. And now he's still on every poll.
I think Mitt would probably get it.
Get back in there, man. Yeah, give him 10,000 to 1.
I think I've had my fill of it. Thank you.
And then we were like, hey, Mitt, you could be Secretary of State. Just kidding.
Oh, man.
Poor guy.
You want to talk about Charlie Brown with the football. Now, our sponsor is LifeLock. Security researcher discovered a bug buried deep in an obscure Wi-Fi chip, making billions of cell phones vulnerable to exploitation. If you haven't updated your smartphone operating system, you probably should. The vulnerability could wipe out all of the security controls built into your phone, allowing hackers to break in and use it to infect other devices, as well as take all the information that you have. Now, somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. Now, stealing someone's identity is different than, you know, stealing their credit card number. This is stealing the identity, and everything is at stake now. Your entire credit rating. People are going to be filing possibly taxes under your name. They're going to be taking out loans in your name. They're going to destroy everything that... The only thing that you really own is your name in the end. Now, if there is a problem, LifeLock has a group of U.S.-based identity restoration specialists that are going to work to fix the problem. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But if you join right now, you'll get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or visit LifeLock.com. Use the promo code BECK15. BECK15, save 15% off your first year. Offer ends August 27th. Terms and conditions do apply. 1-800-LIFELOCK, LifeLock.com, promo code BECK15.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Just talking about the fight that's coming up on Saturday, possibly the biggest loss for Vegas of
ever.
All time.
Ever. Yeah, the massive underdog, Conor McGregor, against Mayweather, 89% of the betting has been placed on him winning.
Wow.
89%! So they get a bloodbath if he wins. It's a bloodbath. Yeah.
Be careful what you eat.
Yeah.
You know, from the MGM. I'm just saying before the fight. Don't eat anything.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.